This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
6:30 p.m. tonight, Game 7 of the World Series. If you listen closely, you can hear the Astros trying to steal signs. But the Nats win anyway.
But you know what the greatest sound of that game was? The
dong, dong
of Howie's ball hitting the right field foul pole.
I've watched it 641 times, numbers approximate. It's still great.
You went to the premiere of the documentary. How many times have you seen it in full?
Twice.
Unbelievable.
It's great. So I saw it that premiere night, which was awesome. It was electric in that place. I didn't know they were doing this, but they had Craig Melvin and Lindsay Zarniak sort of host the event, and they did kind of a stage thing too. So they had Mark Lerner and Ryan Zimmerman. And Mike Rizzo come out and sort of talk about it and some of the different things and asked a few questions, and Zim got a bunch of ovations, and it was so well-deserved and so awesome. It was just such a fun night for him and everybody. And it was really, really cool. And it was basically people, you know, you can order that DVD. It's well worth it. It's just about the World Series. I'm going to need somebody, I don't know who does these sorts of things. I need that entire playoff run in digital video disc form. By the way, for the young guys, a DVD, it goes into a DVD player. And you need a player that plays DVDs. You can use a video game machine, but it's not. You can't stream a DVD. That's for Sean and Ryan. They're very young.
I have a great Super Bowl collection of DVDs. It's fabulous. I always put Super Bowl 17 in there.
Yeah.
Still great. Still one of the greatest of all time.
My six-year-old, this is just as a side, saw an iPod.
And said, what is that?
Said, what is that?
Yeah. My daughter does that now because the boys, I mean, my oldest will be 29 in March. The younger one's 26. They had iPods. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, she's 11. When she sees those around the house every now and then, you know, she's like, what is that? I'm like, well, you put music on it. Really?
Why? Why would you bother to do that? In that same little iPod, my 21-month-old, I should just start calling him a two-year-old. That's such a mouthful.
My 21-month-old, he's just shy of two.
By the way, is that a toddler? We couldn't figure this out yesterday.
So I think toddler.
What's minimum toddler age?
To me,
it's not
toddler,
three, Sean. You put those fingers down.
Toddler would be two or less for me.
Less?
But in other words, if you are under two.
You're saying a two and a half year old is not a toddler?
Yeah, I guess you could, but. I mean, he said three. I mean, what do you call
three? Three is wrong. You call him three, but that's still in toddler category. What's the minimum for toddler? Because this is very Seinfeldian. I know he's not an infant. He walks, he talks, he doesn't make any sense. He blathers on about whatever, but he knows who mom is, knows who dad is, right? And can say, he could say, I'm Batman in a funny voice, which is really hilarious.
I'll show you a video. Dad.
Yeah. And he knows how to make funny faces, but he doesn't know anything. He can't fend for himself.
When does infancy end?
I'm sure somebody has that. You can tweet me at Funny Danny at Pete Medhurst on the Twitterverse. I want to know that. When does toddlerhood begin? I'm sure this is a Google thing that I could kind of figure out, but I feel like it's too much.
By the way, do you ever use the word toddler? Like when you're talking to friends, hey, my toddler did this.
Boy, that comes off bad.
No,
that doesn't sound good. My kid.
It's just my child.
Well, I'm trying to discern my 6-year old and my little guy.
My infant the other day.
They don't say infant either.
They only do that in like rich places.
It's like that Seinfeld.
Like Chevy Chase.
It's like the Seinfeld with my fiance. I've lost my fiance, the poor baby. Maybe the dingo ate your baby, which is a great Elaine on Painkillers line. What is it, Sean? What do you got?
12. To 36 months old.
Is what?
12 months
toddler?
Is a toddler?
Yes, a toddler is a child 12 to 36 months old.
And who determined
36
that?
Months means 3 years, I think.
Who determined that?
Yeah, you wanted to start toddlerhood at 3 years. So don't take a victory lap on that. Don't act like you hit a walk-off. You settle down. Yes, Ryan.
Wikipedia said that.
All right. Well, you know, I know the president's busy, but maybe he should draw up a bill that gets that down to like, you know, 30 months.
The toddler bill. It's a terrific, terrific piece of legislation.
If you if you call your child a toddler, you'll get 7% off your taxes this year.
Okay. So he's a toddler. Fine. What was the point of that? Oh, here was the point. He does a fun game where he'll grab your phone and he'll go, hello? Right? Like, there's no dialing on it, but he sees people do it. He just yells. He thinks it's so funny. He knows he gets a pop every time. He did that with the iPod. And he like, hello? And everyone was like, it's not as funny with his iPod. You good try. Sometimes jokes fail, right? Your dad fails all the time on stage. That one failed.
What's funny to go back and pick up an iPod just to see what someone had on their iPod from back in the day. See what kind of music they had.
Oh, I know.
I know what would be on both of my boys' iPods would be, I mean, it's all rap. The time.
So for me, I feel like, and this is such an old guy thing, but here I go. Again, on my own, Whitesnake. Here is what it would be. I feel like I've paid for, and gotten the same 1,000 songs 7 different times in my life. Right? Now, there's always new stuff, and I incorporate that. But for like the same core things, I've bought on cassette, I've bought on CD, I've bought on iTunes, and now I feel like I'm buying it again for like a different service, like whether it's Spotify or Amazon Prime Music or whatever the hell it is. I feel like I've re-downloaded things a million times over, and it's exasperating. Napster was great. I want that free music thing back. Not because I don't want to pay for my music. My point is I've already paid for it, but you're making me pay again on a different platform because now it's a 2.0.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I got the same 27 songs from Guns N' Roses, Def Leppard, Metallica. These are bands, guys, that took place before you were born. I feel, you know what I mean? Like, I've done that a million times. I got the same Tupac, the same Biggie, the same Wu-Tang Clan, the same Tribe Called Quest. I've done it a million times over, and it's really annoying to me.
Which is why iTunes and all the other different gift cards you can buy at this time of year for someone to just download everything. I mean, that's everybody's Christmas right there in a nutshell.
That's what I've been doing it a million times over.
Especially if you have a preteen like I do who's 11 years old and loves all that stuff. You know, I could buy her gift cards and so she could download everything. She'd be a happy camper.
So we're not doing what we're supposed to do, but it's a Christmas Eve show. We're just having fun. This is something that has come across the Twitterverse. Have you guys seen this? I've seen a few different people tweet it. There is a 10. I gave it 10, Ms. Davis. A 10-part documentary. Featuring guys like Scottie Pippen, Steve Kerr, Ahmad Rashad, Bob Costas, Barack Obama, Magic Johnson, Justin Timberlake, Carmen Electra for some reason. Anybody you could think of. Patrick Ewing is in it. A 10-part, Roy Williams I just saw flash across the screen. A 10-part Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls 1990s documentary on ABC ESPN. It's coming in June. There's a 1-minute teaser where nobody says anything, and it's basically like just a couple, not even Jordan highlights, but highlights you know so well where the highlight starts but don't finish. Like, you know, the Knicks where he's on the baseline triple teamed. Mm-hmm. He looks one way, doubles back,
spins back, and he
bangs it on Ewing. You start that highlight, and it cuts to somebody else sitting down about to talk. You start the dunk it from the foul line, then it cuts to Ahmad Rashad who's like, there's nothing that I could be more in on than that.
As you can tell, I'm wearing a Jordan brand jacket here today.
That's a young man.
I am going to be all in on that because, you know, as we all argue about who's the greatest basketball player of all time, I don't, you know, that's up for debate. But the guy that revolutionized all of this is that guy. And he made a lot of other guys rich after that as a result of his exploits as a basketball player. And some of the things that he did on the court, you know, he didn't talk it. He just went out there and did it. That's what I loved about Michael Jordan.
Ryan, you may know him as the owner of the Charlotte whatever franchise is called now. They're the Hornets, the Bobcats, I can't remember. He actually played basketball in the NBA and was really good. That's what we're talking about.
He was actually a wizard at one time, too.
Right. Again, before you were born. That's an interesting tidbit there. A couple years on bad knees, putting up 20 a game.
They wore black, blue, and bronze and white uniforms back then.
Weird stuff was happening, man. It was a lot more Chris Whitney than you signed up for. Ooh. A lot of Jahidi White. They had
Jahidi, Heidi Ho.
They had two guards. It was a very well-designed team. They had two guards who specialized in mid-range, Richard Hamilton and Michael Jordan. I'm sure that was a great recipe. My God. In the aftermath of a really promising team with Rod Strickland, Juwan Howard, Calbert Chaney, who had the smoothest shooting stroke in the history of the planet,
lefty
Chris Webber, George Mirosan, who George Mirosan, interestingly, and this is another basketball player, Ryan, whose career came to an end because he made a crappy move with Billy Crystal. Goes to show you, don't make moves with Billy Crystal.
And by the way, his son now plays for Georgetown.
That's right. That's right.
He now plays for Georgetown.
He's got a good view of a lot of the games.
If you scour Twitter,
that was mean.
He took a picture with the Penguin the other day that is now revolutionary on Twitter. Craig Heist, I think, comes up to his belly button.
We didn't do anything we're supposed to do there, which is fine.
But people are chuckling.
Does the road to the Super Bowl really go through Baltimore? Discuss that 5 minutes away on The Fan. Let me pose this to you, Pete. How many teams do I have to give you before you take that number of teams over the field to win the Super Bowl? You're going to start with Baltimore.
How many teams do you need? Do I get the field against Baltimore, or do I get the field against New England?
So what I'm saying is you start throwing in a couple teams. Mm-hmm. Where it's between, let's say, Baltimore, let's say Kansas City, let's say New England, let's say however many more teams you need before you say, I'll take that group over the field of everyone else that's eligible.
Be honest with you, this year, I would, I don't know how far I could go. I might have to take them all. I don't trust any of them.
You don't trust anybody?
I don't really trust any one particular team. I think there's a way to beat every single team. Unlike years past where we've had a team that you went, that's the team
that's
coming
the squad
into the playoffs. I think Baltimore's the closest thing to it, but I believe if you can find a way to keep Elastic Man in the pocket, in the middle of the field, where he can't continue to break your heart on third down by running for 5 when they need 4 and running for 8 when they need 7 and things of that nature, I think you can keep them in a situation where you can beat them with one play in the fourth quarter. I just don't see that particular team. Like, I think you can score against Baltimore. I think you can score points against Baltimore.
Nobody really has in a while, though,
no,
right?
No, but look at who they played lately, though. Outside, I mean, look, the New England win is good. The Buffalo win on the road is good.
Uh-huh.
They are the closest thing to it. I just don't think they're not an unbeatable juggernaut.
Yeah, nobody's infallible. So I had a hard time thinking of this. So if you gave me the three teams in the AFC, Ravens, the Chiefs, who now people are finally starting to talk about because they realize, oh my God, this group is good. They're playing great.
Great level of football
right now. So when Mahomes is coming back from his injuries, he's not quite himself. The mm-hmm. offense wasn't quite humming. The thing that's picked up in terms of business is their defense. All of a sudden is playing pretty good football. They're like a better version of a lot of those Peyton Manning Colts teams where you want to run against us? That's adorable. That's precious. We got a couple bookends. We're getting up the field. It's Mathis. It's Freeney. We're going to sack your butt. You know, we'll get a turnover or two and win 30-28. This group's playing better defense than that. And offensively, they are proficient. I don't think you can really stop them. You could slow them, but you can't stop them. You see what Chicago tried to do the other night. We're just playing deep.
Yeah.
You will not get an easy score against us.
Okay, we'll just drive it 15 plays down your throat.
That's fine. That's just fine and dandy by us.
But here's the thing. Are the Chiefs the Colts of days gone by where great regular season team, they look great offensively, but in the playoffs, if they saw New England or Pittsburgh, especially on the road, they went, ooh, we can't beat them.
Well, maybe, but they were an illegal formation penalty away from beating the Patriots last year.
Yep.
They were a guy lined up offsides, had the Chiefs beat.
But
those
things happen to those teams pretty consistently. The moment almost gets too big for them in that situation. The one thing I will say about Baltimore's been the one team through the years that no matter what, they never feared New England.
That's a good point. They didn't fear New England. Yeah.
I think a lot of teams in the playoffs,
That mystique,
and it was like, oh my God, we got to go to New England.
Because people have been paranoid for years, and a lot of it's justified. Because again, New England cheats, and everybody thinks that's just the spying or whatever else. They do the dirty stuff. They'll steal your first 10 script, your play sheet. They'll send a guy disguised as a custodian in there to steal that. They cut out your wireless radio right in a huge drive in the fourth quarter. They do that crap. They do it. And they've cheated for years. They've always done it. I wish my team did it, by the way. Run afoul of the rules. Get fined. I don't care. You're going to fine me? I'll keep winning games. I'll be the team that everybody hates. But they do that stuff. People were so paranoid about that. Ravens were never scared. Ravens have never been scared of them. I think you're right about that.
No, and look, I mean, look, everybody's got the same all 22 film, and we can sit there and zoom in on stuff trying to steal signals and all that other crap. I mean, it comes down to simply who can block the best, who can tackle the best. This is football. I keep saying this all the time. Football is not a complicated game. We line up 11 v 11. Six people are eligible on a play to do something. And if my people match up good against your people, and my people actually tackle your people, my people block your people, I'm going to win the game unless one of my dopes drops the ball, you know, running into the end zone or something like that. I mean, football is not complicated. We overcomplicate it with how we think we're breaking it down, and we break it down, you know, in all these complicated highlight shows, and we talk about each position until, you know, we're purple in the face. Football is not complicated, and the teams that keep it that way are the ones that win more often than not. New England plays a simple brand of football. The Ravens right now, they're playing a pretty simple brand of football, and, you know, they basically come to the line of scrimmage. They tell you what they're doing. And right now, people can't stop it. Same thing with Kansas City's offense. You know, now that they're all healthy again, can't stop it. I mean, I don't, you know, I look at the NFC. So, do you trust San Francisco?
Well, that's where I was going with this, Pete, is I look at the NFC, and even though what we saw last night from Minnesota, which was wholly uninspiring, unimpressive, they had a lot on the line last night, and they laid an egg in a huge spot. That was bad.
Remember when Green Bay couldn't go win in domes in big spots?
Yeah, I remember all that
they
stuff.
They dominated that game.
And they dominated, start to finish. But I look at the NFC and I go, there are a lot of teams that on any given Sunday, to borrow from Pacino and the old adage, I could see if the Packers played the Saints, coin toss to me. 49ers play the Vikings. I would favor the 49ers, but again, you could absolutely see something. My point is, everybody but the Eagles right now is good. Or really good. Mm-hmm. But you've seen San Francisco, they're 500 down the stretch. Started 8-0, and they're basically, you know, 4-3 since then. The point is, the NFC is so deep that I don't think there's a favorite to come out of the NFC that I would buy.
But who's starting to roll right now? Philadelphia. Who's starting to slowly get a little roll going?
Well, sure.
Green Bay. Defensively. This is the best Green Bay defense we've seen in a while.
It is. But I go to the AFC. To me, there are three teams that are for real. Three teams are for real. It's the Ravens, the Patriots, just because they're the Patriots, and the Chiefs. I understand. I like what Tennessee does. That's good for them. They've had a couple close losses these last couple weeks against good teams. Buffalo, we know what they are. It's a good defense. It's the Josh Allen show. They're not good enough, right? Same thing with Houston. They're frauds, in my opinion. I think there are three legit teams in the AFC. I think there are five in the NFC. And that's being generous to Minnesota. Even just call it four, okay, with the Seahawks, even though they just had a terrible game this past week against Arizona. The NFC's deeper than the AFC. Which is kind of why I'm going, if you gave me the three AFC teams, I'd feel comfortable taking them against the field. That was my long-winded way of saying I feel like that's the deal.
Makes sense. But, I mean, I look at also the other thing that I look at, too, is strength of victory. A team like Buffalo, that 10-5 record, been built against people that aren't very good.
It's a wee bit flimsy.
Yeah. So, I mean, strength of victory means a lot to me, you know, when I try to break down some of these teams. Have you beaten good teams? And I think the teams, you look up at the top, you know, of what we've got teams that are beating people at a 49-48% clip through the year. So those teams tend to be more legit. I think it all comes down to Baltimore, New England. It doesn't matter where the game is. Neither team's going to be intimidated by the environment. They've been there several times. Baltimore would never fear going to New England. Now the shoe's going to be on the foot. If New England gets there, they're going to have to go to Baltimore. And for Kansas City and New England, they're going to have to play each other before they play Baltimore based on the seeding, if it all holds right now.
It's a good point.
So,
well, New England's got Miami. So they're finishing 13-3.
Mm-hmm.
With all due respect to Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know what? Forget that. Lack of respect to Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brian Flores and company. The Patriots are winning that game. So now they're 13-3. Ravens already have home field locked up. We'll see what they do. You know, if they rest Lamar Jackson all the way. I actually haven't seen what they're doing, so somebody maybe
Lamar's
will correct
out.
Me on it. He's not playing at all, so they're going to play Griffin.
Him, Yonda, Ingram. All Brandon Williams all sitting out right now.
So win, lose, or draw, Ravens got the one seed. Patriots locked into the two. I think Kansas City is all but assured of that three seed. It'll be interesting. We'll talk about this. Does the road go through Baltimore or somebody else the favorite? That's next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
When the Beatles were getting together to record albums, right, when they're in the middle of doing Abbey Road, for example, Pete, do you think they're going, I think this one's going to turn out all right. I mean, you think they're like, or they just go, let's just do another album. We're like, I think this will go down in history as one of the greatest recordings ever done. Do you think it's like that?
I think the more distinguished groups may have a member or two that think that way, but the rest of them are just like, let's just sing again. Let's sing another song. Is this, I mean, after seven or eight songs for an album, don't you think most of them go, aren't we done yet?
Yeah, isn't this it? Because it's a grind to be in there and it's like someone's like, just at that point, it's like just
do it again.
Just mowing butts. You're like, could you record this part of the vocals again? Can we do this again? Run that back. It's miserable. But like, here's what I always wonder, right? So the great band recorded the great album, like when the Beach Boys are doing Pet Shop Sounds, or you know, the Beatles or any one of their albums, White Album, Abbey Road, whatever, right? When they're doing what they're doing and they know they're crushing it, and they're like, and they're right, because it's one of the great works of art of all time. When Michael Jackson's doing Thriller, is he as soon as the track's done, then Quincy Jones lays it down, he's like, yep, that's another smash that's going to go down in history, be one of the most played things in the history of the world.
I think Quincy Jones says that because Quincy Jones just likes to count money.
Yeah.
That dude has been great.
So what about, so when they're right, okay, but then what about when they're wrong? Like, what about, like, did Smash Mouth, when they're making All Star, where they're like, you guys, this is it. Or when Nickelback's like, whatever they do, you know, we nailed it. And then they're wrong, and the album sucks, and they suck.
That's just, I was like, wondering about those. Just like movies.
Yeah, that's what I wonder about.
You know? Oh, that's a great scene. This is going to, people are going to rock this. And they go out and make like $1.2 million that first weekend when they thought they were going to make three or four.
Like when they're filming Pearl Harbor, one of the worst movies ever. It stinks. Are they going, cut? You guys,
this is it.
This is great. This is great.
Rock that.
Can you tell? I always wonder if you can tell. People say after the fact that you can tell. I don't buy it. I don't buy that you can tell. I think while you're doing it, you're passionate about it, you're in. Unless it's just one of those, like, it's like Nicolas Cage's 24th Disney movie. And I'm just, this one, I've got to find a treasure. I got to go and find the treasure. Like, he doesn't care. He's mailing it in.
It's just like when an offensive coordinator puts in a new play and he watches them, you know, execute it against, like, shadows.
This is
goes,
the play.
Oh, they're not going to guard this. And then it goes out, and you get a loss of like 6 yards. And they go, man, God, I thought that play was really going
to
work.
Yeah,
man,
this is going to be so perfect. We'll get it to Brandon Banks.
Brandon Banks, who had another solid year for your Canadian Football League champion.
Always.
No, they were runners-up. Hamilton Tiger Cats were the runners-up to Winnipeg this year. He's had a great year. He's had a great career in Canada, by the way.
Well, that's where he belongs, to be quite frank. Nobody has almost scored more than Brandon Banks. At least according to Brandon Banks' body language after every play.
Do you know, I have to be honest with you. I thought Steven Sims was the second coming of Brandon Banks at first.
I'm going to let you in on a confession.
I thought he was the second coming of Brandon Banks, because where did he make his first kind of impact? You were like, ooh, kick
preseason,
return.
Kick return.
Preseason,
yep.
looks like he's got. Now, look, Brandon Banks still has, or Steven Sims still has to iron out some issues, route running. You know, he still has issues with an option route. You know, he should have gone in. Dwayne threw it in, except he went out, because if he'd gone in and he'd have caught the ball, he might have scored on a really long touchdown. But he's got to clean up some route running things. But Steven Sims,
exciting prospect,
is an exciting prospect and has gone beyond Brandon Banks now, in my mind, as a player for this team.
Doing laps around Brandon Banks. But so I want to kick two things around with you real quick. This is my confession. This is a time of honesty here. Christmas holiday. I know we got folks on hold. We'll get to you guys in a second, I promise. There was a part of me that was rooting against Steven Sims. I love that he's good. I'm excited for the future. He is an asset. He's a building block. I'm into Steven Sims. This is my confession. Because Eric Bickle saw one play.
Yes.
And decided.
I knew that's where you were going.
And he decided that Steven Sims was the greatest. He just made these incredibly huge declarations based on.
It was the only person he talked about.
He's got to make the team. He's a baller. He could take it to the house at any time. These grand assessments of a player based on the same evidence that led people to believe that Robert Davis was can't miss, that Cam Sims was can't miss, that Aldrick Robinson was can't miss, that any Jag receiver that is, they make a trillion of those guys, just decided this guy was a superstar. I kind of wanted him not to succeed. Now, people are going to hear that. They're not going to listen correctly. I'm super glad that he's good. It's much better for the Redskins and for me as a fan that he's good. I like that he's good. I want to see him. I don't want to see Trey Quinn. I'm into Steven Sims. Yes, Steven Sims. Yes, that's your slot receiver of the future. Hell yes, Steven Sims. I'm just telling you, there was a part of me that kind of hoped he didn't make the team. And then was on the fringe of the NFL and then played in Canada. Okay? I confessed it. It's out there. It's public now.
What I like is the fact that they actually had the wherewithal to look past. And I love Trey Quinn. I watched him play, played against us at SMU, caught over 100 balls at SMU. But you know what? Steven Sims has outplayed him. And as I always say, as many coaches have said before, and that's where I got it, can't help the club if you're in the tub.
800-636-1067. We're supposed to be talking about this. Does the road to the Super Bowl go through Baltimore? Let's go to Sal in Arlington. Sal, what's up, buddy? You're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Merry Christmas.
You too, buddy.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment on the Ravens. Everybody looks at their offense, but the real secret to them is their defense, because it sets the pace. You know, it keeps the other field and the other team's offense off the field so that the Ravens' offense can do their thing. You know, they have a lot of really long drives on offense, and their whole goal, I think, with their offense is to wear down the other team's defense. And one of the things I noticed that the teams around the league that are in competition with them or want to get to the Super Bowl all have added offensive players to try to beef up their offense so that they can, you know, beat the Ravens. And the Ravens, really the only additions they've made to their team that I can think of are on defense. You know, getting Peters, They brought in a whole bunch of new linebackers. They've really beefed up their defense. And you've noticed since they got Peters, I don't think they've lost the game. And that, to me, is the secret to their team. They got off to a bad start because their defense wasn't working.
And it has played better consistently. Yeah, Sal, you're right. Appreciate the phone call,
They needed Marcus Peters, though, because they don't rush the passer very well. They don't put a ton of pressure on the passer. Their sack number is not quite as much as they've been in years past with guys like Terrell Suggs and players of that nature. So they've needed – they recognize, look, we're probably not going to be able to acquire a pass rusher, so We've got to go out and do something different. So if we can't help him on the front end, we got to help him on the back end.
I feel like
Marcus Peters is a playmaker on the back end.
I have no numbers to back this up. I'm just this is eye test. This is what Ravens I get to see because a lot of times they're on the same time as the Redskins. I feel like anecdotally they're rushing the passer better than they were early. Early, that was the Achilles heel. That was the weakness. That was the problem. All right, Matt Judon leads the team with 8.5 sacks. That's not world-beating. Right, it's just you do it every down.
What
you
happens is as the season goes along and now they're playing the way they are, they get ahead of you. They dictate everything to you. They know you've got to throw because you're playing catch-up. It's a lot easier at that point to send people after the quarterback because you know they're passing.
They're still not good at it, right? They're not. They're not a great pass-rushing team. No, they're not. A couple teams have that kind of wrinkle. I mean, if Jadeveon Clowney ever got healthy, Seattle is you know, with the arrow trending up a little bit, but they don't rush the passer particularly well either. I'm with you. They're not great at it, but that, to me, they're better than they were. I don't know if they're good enough to win a Super Bowl, but that'll be interesting. A couple more calls on the Ravens, plus a double play before we give way to a Beltway Blitz, but we'll do it in-house. Little twist on it here. Grant Nanny on the Fan. It's Grant Nanny here on the Fan. Pete in for GP. Get you a double play here in a second. Let's finish up these telephone calls. We have that technology at 800-636-1067. Does the road to the Super Bowl go through Baltimore? Pretty simple question. I think it does. I think they're the most complete team. The way that they run their offense, They basically hit you in the gut a bunch of times. And you finally get sick of getting hit in the gut. And you protect your gut. And then they get you the headshot.
It's like when you played Punch-Out. Body blow, body blow, body blow. That's what they do all the way down the field. Just body blow you to death, get you behind, take away possessions. All of a sudden, 8 possessions later, the game is over and you've lost. You don't know where the game went.
Cleveland held them to nothing for
a half.
Basically 26 minutes.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
They just wear you out.
2 scores in the last 4 minutes, 2 Andrews touchdowns, game was over. It was amazing.
Just wear you out.
Who's your favorite opponent in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
Oh, boy. See, I like, what was the Tiger?
Great Tiger.
Great Tiger. Because that was the guy you always thought you could beat to get. He was kind of like your make or break guy. If you beat him, then you could usually keep on going.
Then you had to beat Bald Bull. Then the second, then you start the major circuit. Then you had to get the second Piston Honda. Then Soto Popinski. Okay. Then second Bald Bull. Second Don Flamingo. Then Mr. Sandman. Then Super Macho Man, and then Mike Tyson. Not that I remember.
Love Don Flamingo.
This is a video game system called the Nintendo Entertainment System, and this is a video game called Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Mike Tyson, interestingly enough, was a professional boxer. A lot of you younger people.
It's actually in an arcade that my friend Punky Overton and I would frequent at Parole in Annapolis on a Friday night. They had it in actual.
Was this
video
the 1920s? What was his name? Punky Overton?
Yes. Real name Marvin. Great architect. So if you need some drawing.
Sounds like a high stockings wearing second baseman who also was a welder.
Great video game story.
Yeah.
Punky and I went out. We both had Intellivision at the time.
Of course she did.
We got the game Truckin'. I went to spend the night. First time I'd ever spent the night at any one of my friend's house. I went to his house.
Punky Overton.
We played Truckin' all night. It was 6 a.m. I literally just walked home at that point.
Amazing.
We'd played it the entire night. We didn't sleep. We played Truckin', and I just walked home at that point. It was great.
Does the road to the Super Bowl go through Baltimore? Dan in Fairfax, Merry Christmas to you, buddy.
Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to both of you.
Yeah, buddy.
My favorite all-time band. We do 6 of their songs in the band I'm in, so I love them. Pete, I love the fact that you got to do some Nats games. And your knowledge of sports amazes me.
It's amazing.
Danny, a little advice. Cherish your kids. Mine are all grown up now, and I never get to see them. So getting to the point, the Ravens are going all the way this year. Maybe Kansas City has a chance to beat them, but Lamar Jackson, I saw highlights of him just recently. Amazing moves in the open field.
Without a doubt.
RG3 is the starter for the Ravens, so I even think he's going to do well. And Super Bowl champs, Ravens. That's what I think.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate you. Let's go to Andre in Manassas. Dre, Merry Christmas to you, buddy.
Hey, same to you two guys. By the way, Danny, I pulled out the Nest right now. My 11-year-old is playing Punch-Out, and he was stuck on Ball Bowl for a minute, but he beat him. And just to see the joy in his face playing the games I played when I was a kid, it's pretty exciting.
Two things on that, Dre. I'm going to let you finish, but I want to make sure I get this. Standing up to the bull charge was really hard. It was intimidating. You had to get the timing exactly right between the second and third. When he jumped towards you, and he would knock you out in one punch, right? You had to get the jab to the stomach, right? Everything else, he was easy. He telegraphed his punch. He would spin his hands and then jab, spin his hands, duck, and then do an uppercut. You could hit him with all those kinds of things. That bull charge was intimidating if you weren't sure of yourself. Second of all, Dre, the loudest I've ever screamed in my life was when I beat Mike Tyson for the first time, and I ran in to tell my parents, who were asleep. I was supposed to be asleep, but I had snuck down and played Nintendo, and they were not thrilled like I thought they would be for my huge accomplishment. But yes, make your point, please.
That was the original Gallahorn.
That's a great thing.
I would say this. I'm a big fan of Kansas City. Now, to be fair, maybe, you know, I realize this was the Bears, and I realize, you know, it's the Bears led by Trubisky. But that Chiefs game, they were so dominating. That secondary with the Honey Badger, Rashawn Breland, Fuller, where have I heard these names before? I think the Chiefs and Kansas City, Andy Reid, I'll be pulling for the Chiefs when it comes to playoff time. I think there's no other head coach out there deserving of a championship more than Andy Reid for everything he's given to this league, to this sport, and his family issues, problems, all that stuff. I think there's no more deserving coach. I think he has the players. Last year, all they needed was a defense, and I think Kansas City's defense is on par right now. I mean, they're legit.
They're playing well.
And I think I think they can score with anybody. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, yeah, the one thing that I don't think the Ravens would want to do is get into, even though they can score points, but, you know, Kansas City puts two touchdowns ahead of them, or then I don't want to say it's over for the Ravens, but that's one team, Kansas City, who can score with anybody, and now they have the defense to match. I actually think that Kansas City is the team to beat.
Dre, thank you, buddy. That's one of the Ravens, a couple losses this year. They got in a shootout against Kansas City. Back and forth game, winnable game, but Jackson wasn't as good when he had to be a pure passer in that game. And it's not taking anything away from him. He didn't have that great of a ball game. He's the MVP of the league. He's had an unbelievable season. He's awesome the way that he's throwing the ball now, hyper efficient. But you take away, you make it more one dimensional. My voice goes up a lot. You see what I'm saying?
Here's my thing about Kansas City. You know, at some point, when is it a mental block for Andy Reid in how he coaches? In key playoff games.
Because it's interesting, because he's not Marty Schottenheimer, who just got more conservative and just wanted the punt on second down.
Correct.
But it just hasn't happened for him.
But I think this also, when you look at this Kansas City team, I mean, you know, for all the good teams that he had in Philadelphia, this might be the most talented group he's ever taken into battle. But right now, Danny, they're going to have to go to New England and go to Baltimore to win playoff games to get to the Super Bowl. That's Herculean. If you do that, then you deserve a coronation. Now, they have played, outside of Cleveland, they've played the toughest schedule in the AFC. Cleveland played the toughest schedule, but Kansas City was second. And, you know, their strength of victory is almost 50%. So you trust the Chiefs against good teams. Their play and their wins have come against good clubs, whereas teams like New England, a bit fraudulent. I mean, they're 40% strength of victory. Buffalo, strength of victory, 34%. So their wins are coming against chumps. So right now, that's why you trust Baltimore and Kansas City if you're one of those people that goes by the analytics.
I know we're not supposed to say that anymore. That word makes EB angry. Analytics.
Analytics.
I just refer to it as truthful numerical truths.
Love statistics. Analytics.
So Kansas City dropped a couple games before they went on the streak where their defense was flexing on bad teams. Now, people say, well, they're bad teams, but they did what you're supposed to do. When Chicago can't move the football because their offense stinks, that's what it looks like.
And by the way, the Chicago offense that had moved the ball fairly well in the two or three previous weeks leading up to that.
So Kansas City's loss to Tennessee right when Pat Mahomes first came back, they weren't quite right. Even though he put up 446 and three, the operation wasn't quite there, right? They dropped some games early on this season, I think against the Colts, a weird game. I think Tyreek Hill was hurt for that one. And they had a thriller with Houston, where I have no excuse as to why they lost. Houston did whatever the hell they wanted to them. That's early in the season. Down the stretch, this Kansas City team has given up two straight weeks of only 3 points to a Denver offense that scored a million against Houston a couple weeks ago, shoved it on New England to the tune of 23-16, shoved it on Oakland to the tune of 40-9, did whatever they had to do against the Chargers to get themselves to 7-4. All of a sudden, they're 11-4, and they got the Chargers, who have just fallen into the abyss. The Chargers were 9-7 2 years ago and should have been 12-4. They were 12-4 last year, and they have just VH1 Behind the Music all come crashing down. It is a disaster for the second team in Los Angeles.
Success or failure starts at the top. The top of that organization has been bad, and their quarterback, Phillip Rivers, has not been great.
No.
When you get that, those are two major whammies against you, and it's caught up to Anthony Lynn and company. So far this season.
I just can't believe that defense is that bad with some of the pieces they have, whether it's Bosa, whether it's Ingram, the cornerback whose name I'm blanking on, who they really missed last year even will be in 12-4. Is it Hayward? They should be a lot better than they are, but yet here we are. We're doing Beltway Blitz for you guys. We didn't want to bother anybody. Usually what we do, if you're just new to the program, first of all, welcome. Weird that you're listening today of all days, but whatever. Merry Christmas. Usually what we do at noon is we spin you around the Beltway, get you two or three guests that cover the local teams, and we kind of get you the latest on what's going on. We didn't want to bother anybody today on Christmas Eve, so Pete and I are going to do it. We might even incorporate like a what's going on in the office part of it. There's no sounder for that, but we could just figure out what's going on here in this building that's devoid of any activity because it's Christmas Eve. Beltway Blitz, 5 minutes away on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.